Today on This Week in Iowa, we explore the race for the at-large seat for Des Moines City Council. Incumbent Connie Bozen has one challenger, Justin Lewis. Why Bozen wants to keep her job and why Lewis says it's time for a change. That's all ahead this Sunday on This Week in Iowa. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us. I'm Sabrina Ahmed. Today, we are exploring the race for the at-large seat on Des Moines City Council. Incumbent Connie Bozen has one challenger, Justin Lewis. Let's begin with Connie Bozen. She was elected in 2017. Prior to this seat, she was on the Des Moines Public School Board of Directors for 14 years. She's well known in the community for owning the Appalicious Stand and the Salad Bowl at the Iowa State Fair. We begin our conversation with the biggest issues facing our city.
I think that when I first got on the council, we passed the sales tax, and that was to really speed up all the infrastructure repairs. And that will continue to happen, whether it be storm sewers, the separation of the sanitary sewers and storm sewers, the roads, and definitely more sidewalks, making the city more walkable. So that's one thing, is infrastructure. But then I think we've also need to look at how we can reimagine doing public safety and bringing different aspects to delivering services. And then I believe the other one is continue the reinvestment in our neighborhoods. We started a program called InvestESM, and I think that has shown that there is a new strategy to how we go about doing neighborhood redevelopment. And we need to expand that and continue that.
Now, the school district has struggled quite a bit in the last 3 years. They've seen continual decline. The pandemic only amplified that issue. Parents are sending their kids to schools outside of this district, to the suburb. How does the city of Des Moines deal with the continual move to the suburbs, oftentimes for access to education, or access to lower tax rates, or access to bigger bang for your buck for housing?
Well, I think that's the ongoing thing. You know, we in Des Moines are finally feeling what maybe other cities have felt over the many years, you know, when you look at other major cities. And I think we just have to tell our story. I think people have to understand that our school district is a tremendous school district. We're a very diverse school district. Yes, there are issues of an urban school district that we face that maybe others don't. But I think we just have to tell our story that you can get a good education and you can find great housing in Des Moines. Yes, our tax rate is higher than some, but I think that we also give the amenities. We also have where we're 40% we can't tax. Mm-hmm. So I think that people in Des Moines love, usually, you know, they love Des Moines, they want to stay in Des Moines, and I think we just have to tell that story and provide the opportunities to be here.
So how can the city government help to lift people up and to help increase food security and to make sure that people can pay their rent and make sure that they have car insurance?
Well, I think it's that we can't do it all. I mean, that's not normally. We have the money that comes in from the federal government, the CDBG grants and things like that. And we have help for rental assistance. We have help on food. Especially during the pandemic, we've utilized the money. There's been millions of dollars for to help make sure people aren't getting evicted and putting a safety net as much as we can. But again, it's between Polk County and Des Moines and all of us. We all need to work together in the state to understand what the root problem is, and we need to try to come up with some stronger solutions. And I think the pandemic, if anything, showed that in a greater way. We should be providing free preschool for all 3- and 4-year-olds, especially kids that live in poverty. That way their parents can go to work. Child care is very expensive, as I'm sure you know. So I think that there's some basic things that we could do that would be much less expensive and would be more of preventative instead of always having to do interventions later. It's a better opportunity for parents to know their kids are in a safe place. It's a better opportunity for the kids to get a head start in education. And it's on down the road. So I think we need to look at some solutions that we can do, and in fact, we had a discussion of whether we don't front load. If kids are enrolled in preschool, then they get the funding, the school district gets it the next year. So do we front load to help them get into school? But the other thing with getting just into preschool is that wraparound kind of daycare experience. So it needs to be all day. Mm-hmm. But I have been advocating for that from the 14 years I was on the school board, plus still continuing in my capacity on city council, that we need to do more in that area.
Oh, the woes of childcare. We have more with Connie Bozin in just a few minutes, but first we switch gears to talk to her challenger, Justin Lewis. You're watching This Week in Iowa.
You're watching This Week in Iowa.
Welcome back, everyone. Now to Justin Lewis. He's the president of the nonprofit Des Moines Selma. He's also a local business owner and now running to be the next Des Moines City Council at-large member. Meet Justin Lewis.
I lean on my experience with being an implicit bias trainer and knowing other people's lived experiences and centering those experiences. I think it's really important more than ever that our government is centering itself in everyone's lived experiences, bringing them to the table, listening to their concerns, and facilitating government from that point. I think that's why I'm running for sure. It's always been a lifelong dream, and I know it's people talk about it as a cliche, but one of my high school teachers was like, Justin, you are actually doing it. You're doing what you said you were going to do.
Biggest issues facing the city?
Biggest issue, water for sure.
Oh, we're gonna talk about water.
that's the reason why we're all here. If we lose that resource, I'm afraid Des Moines will become obsolete and the surrounding suburbs. Yes, that for sure. really giving a city a vision and plan when it comes to housing and taxing and where we're putting businesses and what are we rezoning. I think really another thing is just showing up to these different cultural events. People want to feel like they have a voice again. They want to know that there is one city council person that they can come to, that he's going to listen or she's going to listen and do the work facilitating government for them.
Let's start with water.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't make it rain.
Yeah.
What is the solution? I mean, water wells are... Are they sustainable?
So there's a cost. It's an additional cost that I don't think we need to do. I want to work upstream and build those relationships with farmers and counties and other cities and provide incentives that can come from the state, that can come from our city for people to put cover crops in, mm-hmm. to collect and capture a lot of those nitrates that are coming into our waters. I think that's the first approach. I'm willing to do that work. I'm willing not to demonize anyone, but build strong bonds with other fellow Iowans so we can make sure that waterway stays clean.
What do you think is the answer and the way to increase our population, but also to maintain our population?
I think the first thing is the city needs to have a written plan of housing, and that's for affordable living, whether you're a renter, and that's also for folks that are owning properties, residents that have properties. That we're not pricing, our retired population out of their homes, but then new buyers as well are able to afford mm-hmm. To purchase. I think that's the first thing. Stabilize that market and get people into homes and roofs over their heads so they stay. And then the next thing is jobs. Are we paying people a livable wage so that they can make ends meet and that they can continue to grasp onto that American dream that wakes us up every day?
I think a livable wage.
Well, right now we're having discussions on $15 being a livable wage. But then also we have to have the discussion about healthcare. High deductible plans aren't really feasible. It really is self-insurance. It cost us $10,000 to have our first daughter. And we had to make some serious adjustments. So, I think those are some of the discussions that we need to start having. I don't feel like we're having those, but I'm really excited to be a voice to that, to be a voice of reason, a voice of common sense, and for the common man, but for all men, too.
We have more with Justin Lewis here in just a few minutes as we dig deeper into the issues. We start with the incumbent on the issues next.
You're watching This Week in Iowa.
Continuing our conversations this morning with the candidates for the at-large seat for Des Moines City Council, we get back to Connie Bozin now, and we start with an issue that you've heard a lot about from Justin Lewis, and that's water quality and clean drinking water. Take a listen to Connie Bozin's take.
This is drinking water. This is for the well-being of all of us. I don't know why it's so difficult to be able to resolve and do the things that we need to do. And hopefully with the infrastructure money coming from the federal government, that people in all communities will look at how we can solve the drinking water issue. I think when we have a drought, when it becomes much more serious, it brings attention to it. It's been there, we need to get it cleaned up. It's the right thing to do.
How do you think the protests that started on May 29th have changed our city?
I think it's made an awareness of the looking at social issues and justice issues that maybe we didn't face in the past as a city, because we've dealt with the infrastructure, we heard about the potholes, the redevelopment, and you hear a lot about the zoning and things like that. I think this brought a social justice issue forward for us to really be serious and look at in a greater way.
When you saw the protests head to Mayor County's front stoop, what was your reaction to that?
I was there. I went to it. I think we have to listen to what people have to say, and I think we've heard them, and I think that what I heard was we needed to do a better job. We had just passed a racial profiling ban, and when the CCI had their series of meetings, I was one of the council people that was asked to attend those. And you heard the stories, and you realize that we just need to do a better job, and we need to look at how we do public safety differently, how we make it more effective for our citizens, but also for our officers. So I think there's some things I have proposed and I have been advocating and we got accomplished was similar to what, there's programs like CAHOOTS in Eugene, Oregon. There's a STAR program in Denver, Colorado, where you have more, the mental health crisis team is put in place. We have one, but it wasn't 24/7.
Right.
And to me, it just didn't end at like 11 o'clock at night, issues for people. So we were able to, we have one officer that was in charge of it, and she's tremendous. And so we were able, was able to talk with the chief and our city manager. We were able to add another officer, and hopefully we'll add another one. So we'll have three people really trained to the level that I say that Officer Garcia's, and then we actually have hired more mental health professionals for the crisis team. One of the things out of our sales tax was the Amos group had come forward and said they would be supportive if we would add an adolescent crisis team. And we have had the funding for the last 2 years, and as of July 1st, we have a team that has been hired to address adolescents. They're trained in adolescents' mental health issues. And then we will be expanding and adding more mental health professionals to the crisis team. So we will have a 24/7 crisis team.
You talked about passing that racial profiling ban, but the Civilian Oversight Board was not added to with the discussion. That was something that community members really wanted to see. Why not? Why not include that?
I think at the time, we didn't know, first of all, which civilian review, what is the makeup of it? And we already have like the civil service, and we added, what we did add though was a policy review committee of citizens to review.
They can't really do anything.
Well, they can make suggestions, but the civilian review board, how do you set it up? Mm-hmm. And it's not that I am supportive of it. I think we just need to make sure we have a model, because there's many models that are set, but we just need to make sure it's the right model and that it's effective.
So is the door closed on that?
No, the door is not closed. For me, it's not. So, and we'll be working on it. And I know that people are bringing more things forward.
We have more with Justin Lewis and Connie Bozen on our website, weareiowa.com. We'll continue the discussion about police, thoughts on defunding police. Again, weareiowa.com. That's all on our website. We'll be right back.
You're watching This Week in Iowa.
Food insecurity is how we continue our conversation with Justin Lewis, beginning with food deserts in our backyard.
There are five identified food deserts by the FDA here in Des Moines that need to be addressed. And when we're talking about a food deserts, it's just access to fresh produce, access to food, and it's not shelf-stable food like Cheetos, which I love Cheetos.
Love me some mac and cheese, but you can't live cheese. Off of it.
It's food that nourishes the body. We have a lot of amazing nonprofits doing the work, but we got to make sure that the city's not becoming a hindrance to prevent them from meeting those needs. So specifically, like Sweet Tooth Farms, they're going to be sadly losing their lease a deal to the city selling off to industry, and that's good. I love business. We need business, but we got to have a vision, and that vision is, if Sweet Tooth Farms is meeting the needs of our community and and alleviate the burden off of the city, we should work a deal with them to make sure that they can continue and sustain.
You know, we know that there have been shootings in on the north side of Des Moines, in the Drake neighborhood, on the south side of Des Moines, you know, south of Watrous. Also, a heightened sense of crime in the downtown area. You know, 5 shootings since November 2015 in the downtown area, and 3 of them have happened in 3 months. So, what needs to be done to get guns off the street and to stop the violence? Because that kind of violence trickles down to population issues and people feeling safe in their homes and people wanting to go into neighborhoods and all that.
You know, we hear it a lot that these are isolated incidents. I don't see them spilling out into our communities and causing a lot of fear and ravish. Typically, the folks that are doing these crimes are quickly caught and addressed, and they go through the justice system, and rightfully so. I think we stay the course, but I think the most important thing that we need to do is make sure that we have enough resources so that we're giving people hope that they don't turn to that. I'm here because my father and my mother were hard workers. They still are hard workers. And they had the resources to put me through school, put me in sports, make sure that I didn't fall into the streets, because anyone is susceptible to fall into the streets, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, anyone. We got to keep our youth busy. We got to give them vision. We got to give them hope for tomorrow.
There's been a lot of discussion within the city of Des Moines about racial profiling. There was a call for a ban on racial profiling that was passed. There was also a call for a civilian oversight committee that was not passed. Instead, it's this board that doesn't actually have any power. But the city says, let's see how that goes and then maybe move forward. We're not ending it. We're just maybe seeing where it goes. Do you think there should be a civilian oversight committee? And how does that happen?
Yeah. So I actually did a little small op-ed in the Des Moines Register on this. I think it would be an amazing idea. Let me preface, I don't hate the police. There are a lot of good officers that do the work who is a shining example of what law enforcement should be. But then also, there are bad apples. And there are folks that spoil the bunch, that create this public perception of how not to do it. And I think what we need law enforcement to do here in this country is to be aware of their own bias, but start weeding out folks that get it wrong. Mm-hmm. That will start to instill trust in all communities. That's step one. With the step two would be, yes, a citizens review board, to give a different lens, a different viewpoint, a different perception that isn't just a department investigating itself. So citizens from Des Moines, whether business leaders, nonprofit leaders, a grandmother, a retired grandmother, to give a different voice to what is being seen. The public would see it this way, and this is why we need to remove this person from this department. The public would see it this way, and this is why we probably should put them on paid administrative leave. Citizens need a voice at that table.
Again, we have all of the full interview with Connie Bozen and Justin Lewis, as well as everyone who will be on the ballot for the city council elections on our website, weareiowa.com. We'll be right back. All right, let's recap the race for the at-large seat on Des Moines City Council. Incumbent Connie Bozen, on the right on your screen, has a challenger. There on your left is Justin Lewis. Again, we have their full interviews on our website, weareiowa.com, where you can hear their perspective on so many more issues that we didn't have time to cover here in our show today. Thank you so much for joining us here for This Week in Iowa. Don't forget, we have a podcast. You can find it anywhere you find your podcasts, like Spotify and Apple Music. Just search This Week in Iowa. And next week, we have a project that is coming to the 6th Avenue corridor in Des Moines, an underserved area. We'll talk to the developer, a whiskey maker, and a rap artist who wants to make this area a place to call home. Again, that's going to be next week on This Week in Iowa. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great rest of your weekend.